When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. You
Jiminy Jim, Jiminy Jim, Jim Jaree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Jim, Jiminy Jim, Jiminy Jim, Jim Jaree. Good luck will rub off when I shake hands with you. I'll blow me a kiss and that's lucky too. Now, as the ladder of life has been strung, you may think a sweep on the bottom most rung. Though I spend my time in the ashes and that, in this whole wide world there's no happier cat. I choose my Bristol with pride, yes I do. A broom for the chef and a brush for the flue. Though I covered with soot from my head to my toe, a sweep knows he's welcome wherever he goes. Jim, Jiminy Jim, Jiminy Jim, Jim Jaree. And you with a sweep, you are in good company. Nowhere there are more happier crew than them that sing Jim Jam Jim Jew. Jiminy Jimmy, Jim. Jim Jerry.
And there could be no happier crew than all the folks who are gathered around the Philco Radio today listening to the score to Mary Poppins. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM, the practically perfect Peconic Public Broadcasting at 88.3 FM here in the cherry tree-lined hamlet of Southampton, New York. I thought today would be a really great opportunity to look at Mary Poppins as a theatrical narrative score, both in the film from 1964, which was so importantly braided into the childhood of so many of us, but also this recent film, which came out in December, Mary Poppins Returns, and also the stage version, a very wonderful musical bouquet of really sophisticated storytelling, I think, and certainly a property and a character and performers who have entered all of our lives, I would think, in many different ways, in many different forms. That, of course, was Louis Armstrong, Satchmo, who did a number of covers of songs from the Disney catalog. Well, the 1964 film of Mary Poppins was, as many of you know, quite a crowning achievement, but also quite a huge effort on the part of Walt Disney to bring P.L. Travers' Nanny to the screen, especially in such a magical, mystical sort of way. And the ins and outs of that we can perhaps tell some other time, but the Game Changers were, of course, adding Julie Andrews to the mix as Mary Poppins, and then Dick Van Dyke, who was a huge TV star by then, and all the and the great score by the Sherman Brothers all came together in quite a wonderful way. It won 5 Academy Awards, including one for Julie Andrews. Another thing that it had, if you see it again, which I had the pleasure of doing, is it has a lot of people from Broadway in it. Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews, of course, but also Rita Shaw, who plays the cook from Pajama Game, and Ed Wynn, who'd been on Broadway since the early 20th century, and Glynis Johns, who went on, of course, to play Desiree Armfeld in A Little Night Music. I was always had a bit of a dislocation to find her a sort of a sexy actress in A Little Night Music when I knew her as the mom in Mary Poppins. So here she is with her particular preoccupation, and then we'll see a parental preoccupation from Mary Poppins Returns. Here is Glynis Johns.
Soldiers in petty coats and dauntless crusaders for women's votes. Though we adore men individually, we agree that as a group they're rather stupid. Cast off the shackles of yesterday, shoulder to shoulder into the fray, our daughters' daughters will adore us, and they'll sing in grateful chorus. Well done, sister suffragette. From Kensington to Billingsgate, one hears the restless cries from every corner of the land. Womankind, arise! Political equality and equal rights with men. Take heart, for Mrs. Pankhurst has been clapped in irons again. No more the meek and mild subservience we. We're fighting for our rights militantly. Never you fear! So cast off the shackles of yesterday, and shoulder to shoulder into the fray. Our daughters' daughters will adore us, and they'll sing in grateful chorus. Well done, well done, well done, sister
suffragette. Haven't spoken in so long, dear. This year has gone by in a blur. Today seems everything's gone wrong here. I'm looking for the way things were. I know you'd laugh and call me tragic, for everything's in disarray. These rooms were always full of magic. That's vanished since you went away. This house is crowded now with questions. Your John's a walking questionnaire, and I could surely use a few suggestions on how to brush our daughter's hair. When Georgie needed explanations, you always knew just what to say. And I miss our family conversations. It's silent since you went away. Winter has gone, but not from this room. Snow's left the lane, but the cherry trees forgot to bloom. Carry on the way you told me. I say that like I have a choice. And though you are not here to hold me, in the echoes I can hear your voice. But still one question fills my day, dear. The answer I've most longed to know. each moment since you went away, dear. My question, Kate, is, where'd you go?
That was from Mary Poppins Returns, Ben Whishaw. Beautiful moment in this new film. P.L. Travers always contended that the Mary Poppins story really wasn't about the kids. It was about the parents. And that becomes very, no pun intended, apparent in this new musical sequel to Mary Poppins, Lovely Number, by Scott Whitman and Mark Shaman, who always do good work. Another musical theater songwriting team I like very much are George Stiles and Anthony Drew, and they wrote some original songs for the 2004 West End stage version of Mary Poppins, which was an inevitability, especially once Cameron McIntosh made a deal with Disney Theatrical. Anyway, here is Laura Michelle Kelly to sing her opening number. I think it's a great expansion from the original score, from the stage version of Mary Poppins, a song about and by the nanny herself.
By the time the wind has blown the weather vane around, I'll show you if I can. No matter what the circumstance, for one thing I'm renowned. My character is spit, spot, spick and span. I'm practically perfect in every way. Practically perfect, so people say. Each virtue virtually knows no bound. Each trait is great and patently sound. I'm practically perfect from head to toe. If I had a fault, it would never dare to show. I'm so practically perfect in every both prim and proper, and never too stern. Well educated, yet willing to learn. I'm clean and honest, my manner refined. And I wear shoes of the sensible kind. I suffer no nonsense, and whilst I remain, there's nothing else I feel I need explain. I'm practically perfect in every way. Practically perfect, that's my forte. Uncanny nannies are hard to find. Unique yet weak, unspeakably kind. I'm practically perfect, not slightly soiled. Running like an engine that's just been freshly oiled. I'm so practically perfect in every way. Well, those are my credentials. Perhaps you have a few questions.
Not temperamental.
Never.
Not grouchy or gruff.
Oh, the very thought.
Will you stay tender when the going gets tough?
Quite the contrary.
Do you reach stories without a big fuss?
Mm-hmm.
Or have objections to playing with us?
Oh, I like games, but I choose them. Some minor improvements may not go amiss, but at all times you must remember this.
You're practically perfect in every way.
I guarantee.
Practically perfect. We hope you'll stay.
No praise on me. Each virtue virtually knows no bound. Each trait is great.
And pitifully so.
Jane, put your toys away, please.
Do I have to?
Yes, my
that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun, and snap! The job's a game. And every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake, a lark, a spree. It's very clear to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way. A robin feathering his nest has very little time to rest while gathering his bits of twine and twig. Though quite intent in his pursuit, he has a merry tune to toot. He knows a song will move the job along. Medicine go down, just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way. Because they take a little nip from every flower that they sip, and hence they find their task is not a
and done. Okay, that's the moment we were all waiting for. I think, is it over? Yeah, it's over. Okay, good. Julie Andrews, of course, making her Academy Award winning presence known in Mary Poppins. Well, one of the fascinating things about Mary Poppins Returns is that it's a kind of replicates the structure of the original movie. So even though many of the characters are different and it's 40 years, 25 years in the future, you get the same kind of building blocks in the show, and you'll all remember the Jolly Holiday into the chalk sketch from the original. And this is done this way through a Royal Doulton broken vase, but everybody, Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel Miranda, go into this multicolored, semi-animated fantasy world. What can I tell you? Here's the number from Mary Poppins Returns, featuring Emily Blunt and, you know, the darling of the American musical stage, Lin-Manuel Miranda, in his movie debut.
Uncle Gutenberg was a bookworm, and he lived on Charing Cross. The memory of his volumes brings a smile. He would read me lots of stories when he wasn't on the source. Now I'd like to share the wisdom of my favorite bibliophile. He said,
cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look. Cause under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook. Chapter titles are like signs, and if you read between the lines, you'll find your first impression was mistook. For a cover is nice, but a cover is not the book.
Mary Poppins, could you give us an example?
Certainly. Nellie Rubina was made of wood, but what could not be seen was though her trunk up top was barren, well her roots were lush and green. So in spring when Mr. Hickory saw her blossoms blooming there, he took root despite her bark, and now there's seedlings everywhere.
Which proves the cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look. Cause under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook.
Chapter titles are like signs,
and if you read between the lines,
you'll find your first impression was mistook. For a cover is nice, but a cover is not the book.
Shall we do the one about the wealthy widow?
Oh, by all means.
Always loved that one.
Well, go on then.
Lady Hyacinth McCaw brought all her treasures to a reef,
where she only wore a smile,
plus two feathers and a leaf.
So no one tried to rob her, cause she barely wore a stitch.
But when you're in your birthday suit, there ain't much there to show you're rich.
Oh, a cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look. Cause under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook. Ta-roo-ra-lee, ta-roo-ra-la, ta-roo-ra-lee, ta-ra-ta-ta.
You'll find your first impression was mistook.
Ya-da-da-da.
For a cover is nice, but a cover is not the book. Oh, give us the one about the dirty rascal, why don't you?
Isn't that one a bit long?
Well, the quicker you're into it, the quicker you're out of it.
Once upon a time in a nursery rhyme, there was a castle with a king hiding in a wing. Because he never went to school to learn a single thing. He had scepters and swords and a parliament of lords, but on the inside he was sad, egad! Because he never had a wisdom for numbers, a wisdom for words. Though his crown was quite immense, his brain was smaller than a bird's. So the queen of the nation made a royal proclamation to the misses and the messers, the more or lessers, bring me all the land's professors. Then she went to the hairdressers, and they came from the east, and they came from the south. From each college they put knowledge from their brains into his mouth. But the king couldn't learn, so each professor met their fate, for the queen had their heads removed and placed upon the gate. And on that date, I stayed there once, I got a note, their mate was now the late great. But then suddenly one day a stranger started in to sing. He said, I'm the dirty rascal and I'm here to teach the king. And the queen clutched her jewels, for she hated royal fools. But the school had some rules they really ought to teach in schools. Like, you'll be a happy king if you enjoy the things you've got. You should never try to be the kind of person that you're not. So they sang and they laughed, for the king had found a friend. And they ran onto a rainbow for the story's perfect end. So the moral is, you mustn't let the outside be the guide, for it's not so cut and dried. Well, unless it's Dr. Jekyll, then you better hide. Petrified! No, the truth can't be denied, as I now have testified. All that really counts and matters is the special stuff inside.
Oh, a cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look. Cause under the covers one discovers that the king may be a crook.
So please listen to what we've said,
and open a book tonight in bed.
So one more time before we get the hook,
sing it out strong.
A cover is not.
Please take her advice.
A cover is not.
Or you'll pay the price.
A cover is not. But a cover is not the book.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad. My father gave me nails a tweak and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word to say, me aching nose.
The biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. He traveled all around the world, and everywhere he went, he'd use his word, and all would say, there goes a clever gent.
When Dukes and Martha Rogers pass a time of day with me, I say me special word, and then they ask me off to tea.
Ooh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
But that's going a bit too far, don't you think? So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay. Just summon up this word, and then you've got a lot to say. But better use it carefully, or it could change your life.
For example?
Yes?
One night I said it to me girl, and now me girl's me wife. Oh, and a lovely thing she is, too.
She's
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Well, a one-of-a-kind song certainly inflamed the imagination of children everywhere, myself included. First movie I ever saw at the age of 4. Note, the soundtrack album on Buena Vista was one of the number one records of 1965. It took a while to climb to number one, but it knocked the Beatles off the charts and was number one for 13 weeks. I remember the cover as if it were yesterday. It looked like a television variety show. But sure enough, it was Mary Poppins. Well, that last song certainly demonstrated how good Julie Andrews was at pattern numbers. Here is the next number, brilliantly written, brilliantly conceived by the Sherman Brothers, which shows her at her ballad best.
Stay awake, don't rest your head. Don't lie down upon your bed. While the moon drifts in the skies, stay awake, don't close your eyes. Though the world is fast asleep, though your pillow's soft and deep, you're not sleepy as you seem. Stay awake, don't nod and dream. Stay.
And the morning light, searching for the things you used to know, looking for the place where the lost things go. Do you ever dream or reminisce, wondering where to find what you truly miss? Maybe all those things that you love so are waiting in the place where the lost things go. Memories you shared, gone for good you feared, they're all around you still, though they've disappeared. Nothing's really left or lost without a trace. Nothing's gone forever, only out of place. So maybe now the dish and my best spoon are playing hide and seek just behind the moon, waiting there until it's time to show. Spring is like that now, far beneath the snow, hiding in the place where the lost things go.
Emily Blunt singing the lullaby analog from Mary Poppins Returns. A little more hefty, this particular bit of material deals with a lost mother and other themes. I suspect the writers of the score, Scott Whitman and Mark Shaman, who I think are terrific, may have known P.G. Woodhouse's and Jerome Kern's song, The Land Where the Good Songs Go, when they wrote that. P.G. Woodhouse, of course, our neighbor. Once upon a time out here on the East End. Well, here we go back to analogs. At one point in Mary Poppins, she and her blue-collar, are there such things in London, co-pal, take the kids to visit a kooky relative. In Mary Poppins' case, of course, she and Dick Van Dyke visited Edwin, Uncle Albert. And Edwin, as I said, had been around since before World War I on Broadway. It was so great to see him in that movie. Here is his number, and then we'll go to the analog number from Mary Poppins Returns. But first, Edwin.
I love to laugh loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I fill with glee, and the more the glee, the more I'm a merrier me. It's embarrassing. The more I'm a merrier me.
Some people laugh through their noses, sounding something like this. Dreadful. Some people laugh through their teeth, goodness sakes, hissing and fizzing like snakes. Not at all attractive to my way of thinking.
Some laugh too fast. Some only blast. Ah! Others, they twitter like birds.
You know, you're as bad as he is.
Then there's that kind what can't make up their mind.
When things strike me as funny, I can hide it inside and squeak, as the squeaklers do. I've got to let go with a ho. And we love to laugh loud and long and clear. We love to laugh so everybody can hear. The more you laugh,
oh my goodness,
the more you feel. The more the glee, the more we're a merry
turning turtle? What exactly does that mean?
It means my whole world goes flippity-flop like a turtle on his back. And I don't know, my up from my down, my east from my west, my topsy from my bottomsy. If you ring with something broken on a Thursday, I'll make new with my glue, pins and thread. But you bring when I'm working on a Friday, I will mend and then spend the day in bed.
Children, Saturday, Sun, and Mondays are just everything is fun days. But in the second week, I wear a frown. For I know that after Tuesday comes, the Topsy gets bad news day. It's the dreaded second Wednesday. But from 9 to noon, my life turns upside down. Low, low is high, stop is go, and that is why every second Wednesday is a hurdle. From 8 to 9, all is well, then I roll over on my shell and all, because the world is turning turtle. Day is night, dog is cat, black is white, thin is fat, that is why I'm loosening up my girdle. I cannot help this charming troop, don't mock me, because I'm in the soup, and why? Because the world is turning turtle. With me, I'm as opposite as I can be. I long for Thursdays when the world is drab. When will it cease? Now my life resembles war and peace. That Tolstoy certainly had the gift of gab. I couldn't get through it. Bottoms pop, yin is yang, peace and quiet, storm and drang. Tuesday nights my blood begins to curdle. East is west, in is out, and that is why I need to shout, oh no! The world is turning turtle. If you had come some other morn, you wouldn't have found me so forlorn. But since the day that I was born, second fences is on the fritz. I couldn't mend this to save my soul. If this keeps up, I'll dig a hole. You say life's a cherry bowl, but Wednesday's full of pits.
Tell us, can you fix this drum?
Well, today's looking glam.
Can you mend this crack and broken string?
Well, perhaps if you all lend a hand.
Our fingers are at your command.
A broken songbird still can sing. Let's do the turtle string.
Upside down, the best thing is to turn right along with it.
I do see. From down here, things look right side up.
I wouldn't mind seeing things from that angle.
Sounds like fun. Can we?
Very well. Flippity flop. Turtles turning everywhere.
Things are getting cleaner.
Well, knock on wood, my dear. When you change the view from where you stood, the things you view will change for good.
I never thought of things that way.
She never thought of things that way.
Now Wednesdays are my favorite day.
Now Wednesdays are my favorite day.
Cause that's the day I'm quite contrary. And now thanks to God and Mary, I have changed to be exact. I laugh effect.
The world is turning turtle. Turtle. Turtle.
I never miss a Meryl Streep animated musical. That was Meryl in her little star turn as Topsy Turvy in Mary Poppins Returns, a character that was in the original book. So there you have it. Another funny, kooky, eccentric relative number. Well, Julie Andrews' glorious voice and the music of the Sherman Brothers really came together with Feed the Birds. But, you know, I'm actually not going to play her singing it because they discovered a demo of the Sherman Brothers pre-recording, pre-stamp of approval version of that song. Supposedly it was Walt Disney's favorite. So here is Richard M. Sherman to sing Feed the Birds.
Early each day to the steps of St. Paul's, the little old bird lady comes. In her own special way to the people she calls, come buy my bags full of crumbs. Come feed the little birds, show them you care, and you'll be glad if you do. Their young ones are hungry, their nests are so bare, all it takes is tuppence from you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag. Feed the birds, that's what she cries, while overhead her birds fill the skies. All around the cathedral, the saints and apostles look down as she vends her wares. Although you can't see it, you know they are smiling each time someone shows that he cares. Though her words are simple and few, listen, listen, she's calling to you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag.
That was one of the composer lyricists, Richard Sherman, singing that song in a pre-demo. Now, seeing the original Mary Poppins again the other night, I was struck how beautifully constructed it is, as beautifully as any great Broadway musical. And The Life I Lead is a song sung by Mr. Banks, and it sort of filters through the movie in different ways, and different people pick it up. Very sophisticated. The soundtrack to Mary Poppins was such a big hit that people like Duke Ellington picked it up. Here is Duke Ellington's version of The Life I Lead.
Mm-hmm.
brush away the dirt and soot.
Brush away your tears.
Cobwebs that aren't swept away.
Hang around for years.
In all weathers up or less, we can see for miles. Our idea of heaven is a night out on the tide.
Step in time. Never need a reason, never need a rhyme. We will step in time. Over the rooftop, step in time. Never need a reason, never need a rhyme. Over the rooftop, step in time.
A perfect crime, don't it seem a shame
when the steps aren't going as smoothly as they might?
That was from the London cast recording of Mary Poppins, which London 2004 and came to Broadway in 2006 and stayed, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. A big hit for Cameron Mackintosh and Walt Disney Theatricals. And why shouldn't it be? Mary Poppins is such a universal story, and I do think you have to give props, as the young folks say, to the original movie, 1964, under the guidance of Disney, for really creating, you know, a movie that kind of took up everything that the Broadway musical had been working on for, certainly since My Fair Lady. It's got a lot of nods to My Fair Lady, in the way, certainly, that it represents Edwardian England and, of course, Julie Andrews, and then adds its own kind of Disneyfied magic. So why shouldn't we bring it back to Broadway and continue to reinvestigate its charms? It's certainly one of the most popular pieces of intellectual property of the 1960s, and I think of the most successful Disney film of all time. And when you compare it to, you know, the post-Mary Poppins, pre-Little Mermaid Disney, things like Bedknobs and Broomsticks and Pete's Dragon, you can see it's astonishing genius. Well, I mentioned Bedknobs and Broomsticks. If you see Mary Poppins Returns, you'll see Angela Lansbury appear at the very end as the Balloon Lady, clearly an analogy, another analog to the Bird Lady from the original Mary Poppins. The role was offered, I gather, to Julie Andrews, who very graciously decided to step aside and let Emily Blunt have center stage. And that final song is called Nowhere to Go But Up. And I would play it, but A, it's rather long, and B, you might think I was doing an old Jimmy Lipton musical, and that would confuse you. So let us take out our Mary Poppins show with the highest of heights, the highest of aspirations, with the final number that, golly, I think even when I was a kid at 4, it made me cry. It makes me cry today. I hope you enjoyed our practically perfect episode of Mary Poppins. And here is David Tomlinson, who's just wonderful in the movie, and Glynis Johns and everyone else, going to fly a kite.
With tuppence for paper and strings, you can have your own set of wings. With your feet on the ground, you're a bird in flight. With your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. Oh, let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. Oh, let's go fly a kite.
When you send it flying up there, all at once you're lighter than air. You can dance on the breeze over houses and trees with your fist holding tight to the string of your kite.
Oh, 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 let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through.
Where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.